Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm not going to preach real long tonight. I've only got one page of notes. So that means that means I'm going to preach an hour and a half probably. Amen. What's interesting, I've never heard that song before he just sang. I've never heard that. But it's going to go right hand in hand with what I'm going to preach tonight. These people here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 was up against some problems. And listen, I want you to understand that lately it seems like I've been preaching in this area a lot, so somebody needs to get a hold of this. What I preached last Sunday, what I preached this morning, what I'm preaching tonight, you need to get a hold of this. If you're having a problem that's just far beyond your the sphere of your understanding or your power to contain it or to change it or do anything about it, I'm going to help you tonight. You listen. Amen. I'm going to try to help you. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, let's just start about verse 4, somewhere like along in there. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might. Listen to this, they're in trouble. They're fighting against the children of Ammon, the Moabites, the Ammonites, which are the descendants of the incestuous relationship of drunken Lot up in a cave. You remember that? That's where this mess came from. So it does matter how you raise your children, because generations to follow will pay for it. The Bible said, he said here, where was that? Verse number 12? Yeah, verse number 12. He said, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jaleel, the son of Mattaniah, and Levi, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeriel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I'm going to stop right there, and I'll refer a little bit later to them other verses as the story went on. They were in a hot battle. And they were up against it, and they knew it. And he goes to the Lord, and he begins this plea, begging God for help. And in verse 12, he said, Lord, we have no might against this great company. Not only that, we don't even know what to do. Do you realize tonight that knowing what to do is, in my opinion, is half the battle? Sometimes I don't mind doing what I need to do once I figure out what it is that I need to do. But when I don't know what to do, you can't go at it until you know what it is you need to do. That makes sense, any of that? But here are some people. They said, Lord, this is it. And they begin to remind God how good he'd been and how he brought them up out of Egypt and spared them and gave them that land to possess. And he went all the way back to Abraham, and he said, God, I remember your word tells us that your friend Abraham walked out, looked up at the stars and said, I can't count them. And God said, that's right, Abraham. I am thy exceeding great reward. And he said, I'm going to give you all this. I will give your descendants. They're going to be like the stars of the heavens. And he said, Lord, he said, you've been good to us. But here's what he was saying. He said, Lord, it looks like that we're up against the wall and there's nowhere to go and there's nothing we can do. We're in a mess, God. We're in a terrible fix. I want to preach tonight on this. How to handle what's handling you. How to handle what's handling you. I don't know who this is for tonight. It don't really matter. But there may be somebody here tonight that would say, preacher, if you'd be honest, say, preacher, there's something got a handle on me, and I can't get loose from it because it's got me. That's the problem with this sin business, just like these preachers we've been talking about and some of this other stuff. Once you realize what's going on, once you realize the trouble you're in, once you realize the predicament that you're in, it's too late, Jack. You're had. Your goose is cooked, brother. Once you realize you've made a mess and you've gone against God and you've sinned, brother, I mean, you're so far gone, it takes a miracle hand of a mighty sovereign God to reach down and help you and change your life. Can I tell you something tonight? Here's what I believe. Now, you might agree or disagree. It don't much matter. But I don't believe AA can heal an alcoholic. I don't believe drug rehab can heal a man from drugs. I don't believe it. Oh, but I do believe that there's a God in heaven, and seated at his right hand is a Savior with nail scars in his hands and his feet and in his side, who bled and suffered not for me and you. And I believe if you'll go to him in humble prayer and seek his face, brother, he'll help you to handle that thing that's handling you. I believe God can heal an alcoholic and cure him of desire of that alcohol. I believe God can cure a man and fix it, brother, when a man can't think of nothing but drugs or pornography or any of those other sins. You cannot name a sin that Jesus Christ cannot fix. You may be in handle tonight. I know what it feels like. Sometimes I think that's why some of us preachers can preach so hard on this stuff, Brother Sam, but just simply by virtue of the fact that I've been through it and I struggle with it too. Brother, a preacher will stand up and preach to you and let on like he don't never sin. He's a rotten, dirty, stinking skunk. You ought to run him out of town. I wouldn't even give him a love offer and run him out broke. Because, brother, we know that Bible teaches that we're in this old flesh. We're housed in this body. And it gives us a hard time. It gives us a fit every day. And I'm like, brother, me and Brother Paul was talking out in the yard this morning. It seems like the older you get, the worse it gets. It seems like the temptation's harder. It seems like it ain't getting easier. Bless God Almighty, it's getting worse. But I'll tell you, God is the same. He has not lost his power. Amen. He had lost his ability to heal and his power to save. We've seen people saved here lately and seen God move. God still has the power and ability to heal people. You may be like King Jehoshaphat was standing there praying and begging God. You may be like that. You say, God, there's something got me. And I can't get loose. Can I tell you something tonight? I'm going to give you a few things. I'll let you go to the house. Amen. Number one, how to handle what's handling you. First of all, God has a plan. Follow it. Look at verse number 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I want to tell you something tonight, people. God's got a plan for every family in this church. But the only thing about it is you got to get in line with God and follow what God's telling you. I can't make you do it, and God can't make you do it. Listen, it's up to every man in this church to take his wife and his children and get them in church and keep them in church. And brother, if you don't, you're going against the perfect and sovereign will of God. That Bible said there that those men got them wives. You know what that tells me? God's got a plan and a purpose. Brother, you got to get together. You got to get together and get hooked up and say, darling, this is what we're going to do. I tell you, I got two single sons. And thank God, I'm glad they're single in a way. I'm glad they waited a while instead of getting married when they're 16 and going through all that and losing their mind and ruining their lives and having 15 divorces before they're 25. But I'll tell you one thing they know when they do get ready to get married. That's what they need to tell their wife. Look, Darling, I love you, and you're a good cook, and you're pretty as a peach, but here's how we're going to live. Amen. Joshua told those men, he said, look here, y'all can serve the gods back before the floods. You can go back across the Jordan. You can serve whoever you want to. And he took that darling sweet wife of his. He said, I tell you what we're going to do. Me and this one right here and my family, we're going to serve God. Y'all do what you want to. You can check out. You can bail out. You can serve the devil. And you can follow after the world. I'm saying God's got a plan. You need to follow it. Listen, ladies, God's got a plan for you. Get in line behind your husband and follow him to the house of God. Amen. You say, preacher, my husband ain't too bright. That ain't got nothing to do with it. God can use unbright people. Can't he? That's right. You say, preacher, my husband's dumb as a box of hammers. I know he is. That's why he married you, you heifer. How do you think you called him? He'd have been smart. He'd have got somebody. Well, praise God, I'm trying to help you tonight. God has a plan, but the only way to work, kids, is if you get in line with Daddy and say, we're going to go to the house of God. We're going to follow this old-time religion and do the things that Daddy tells us to do. I mean, let me throw this in just for good measure. It's just hit me. I'm going to park right here a minute. You teenagers that backtalk your mom and daddy, you ought to be jack-slapped, brother. I'll tell you that right now. You know what that shows me? That shows me rebellion in a teenager's heart, and it shows me mom and daddy should have jacked them up when they're 4 years old. Amen. I'll give you $1,000 cash. Anybody in here, if you ever hear any of my kids smart mouth their mama, $1,000 any today, any day of the week. Boy, it got quiet. Who turned the air conditioner on? Y'all shouting a while ago. What happened? I know what happened, bless God. Hey, I tell you what, when I hit a snag, I don't listen. I don't throw it. I just circle, brother. I just keep circling. I ain't going to quit. I ain't going to stop now. I throw my anchor out, bless God, and we'll preach right here the rest of the night. You hit a nerve, you figure out where the problem's at. Amen? Families, brother, need to get right and stay right, brother. God's got a plan, but kids need to follow their mother and their father. But I want to say this, young people. One of these days, I know your mama's hard on you, and I know she's mean. I know she's got a bunch of rules, wash the dishes, run the vacuum, go out there and clean out the car. I know all that, and I know Daddy's overbearing, works all the time. He ain't never around when he wanted to be, but you want to know something, kids? One of these days, that mama is going to be up here in a casket. And that's going to be the worst day of your life. It's going to be worse than that little pimple-faced boy breaking up with you when mama's laid up here and the funeral director had to try to get her makeup just right, get her hair right, and you come up here and you feel your knees wanting to buckle and you think, my God, that's my mama! That's my mama laying there! Oh, God, I'd wash the dishes. I'd do them 10 times a day. I'd run the vacuum, mama. I'll do anything. Oh, God, I'd give it all if I had mama back. And by the way, you're going to lose your daddy, too.
Amen.
I loved my mama. When she died, I told her I loved her every time I saw her. She's so frail. She had just got down to nothing. And I'd get her little face and just kiss her on the cheek and tell her how much I loved her. And after she died, I still regret it. I didn't tell her one more time.
Amen.
I wished I could tell her one more time. I'm trying to help you. Preacher, you're mean. I know it. That's what I get paid for. Amen. God has a plan. Follow it. Number two, God has a man. Listen to him. Look at verse number 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaiah, and Levi, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The Holy Ghost sat down on that man, and he said, I've got a word from the Lord. And brother, them people got their attention, and their ears stuck up. Look down at verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth. And went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forward, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. I'm trying to tell you, if God's put a man in front of you to preach the book to you and try to help you, best God, the best thing you can do is keep your trap shut and do what the preacher says and try to let him help you. Best God, I'm telling you, God has a man right in front of you if you'll listen to him.
Amen.
There's going to be people die and stand before God and have all their works burn up in their face. And God's going to point at the preacher. I try to tell you. Preacher, I wish the Lord would have revealed to me. He's trying to. He's using me. I'm preaching my guts out trying to tell you. That's why I get so tired. I'm so wore out from preaching myself to death, trying to tell hard-headed, knucklehead church members what God wants them to do, and they still go out and do the opposite. Now, I was nice this morning, so I'm just going to be mean tonight. God has a man, so listen to it. Let's look at Hebrews 13 if you want to. Let's run a little reference. You say, preacher, you're not the boss of me. Oh, really? All right, let's see what God said about it. You say, well, no pastor's going to tell me what to do. You have the spirit of rebellion in you, which is the spirit of witchcraft, which is the same as devil worship. That's what the Bible said. I didn't make that up. Hebrews chapter number 13, look at verse 17. Are you there? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. I've got to give an account what's going on here. They that may do it, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's unprofitable for you if you don't obey the preacher. You say, preacher, you're just an egomaniac. No, I'm not. I'm not. You don't know. If you'd get my wife to tell you, and she never would in a million years, you don't know how many nights that I can't sleep that I pray for you. I mean, individually, you just don't know. I'm just pouring my heart out to you tonight. There's little things in your life that I know about, and I pray, and I cry, and I ride the road, sometimes just riding around, sometimes walk the floor and can't sleep because I know you're doing something stupid and it's going to mess your family up.
Amen.
That's good preaching right there, even if I am doing it. Some of you done bailed out on me a while ago. Amen. I was preaching just liking it a while ago. I was talking about somebody else. Now that I'm on your front porch, it ain't no fun, is it? I like going to court when a judge is smacking somebody around, but I don't like it when he calls my name up there and got me standing there and he's letting me have it. I know how it feels. But I want to tell you what, the man of God, real Bible preaching, will do something for you that nothing else will do. It'll enlighten you if you let it. It'll educate you. You'll learn things you won't find out anywhere. You know, you'll get stuff to come here to this church three times a week that you will not get on Fox News or CBS or CNN or Headline News or any of the others. Amen. Real preaching will feed you. You won't get food at the house. You say, preacher, we're just going to stay home and listen to preaching today. That won't work either. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, as you see the day approaching. Brother, you're supposed to go to the house of God. Every time the doors was open, Jesus Christ showed up, and if he did it, you ought to be able to do it.
Amen.
God has a man. Listen to him.
Amen.
Preacher, what are we going to do? I don't know. I'll let you know. But we ain't going to do nothing. Any church that's run right, the preacher's in charge.
Amen.
I'm not going off of, I'm not saying that as a power hungry. I'm not. I'm just trying to help you. That's what the Bible said. They said here, when God moved, the Holy Ghost came down on the man of God, and he stepped up and said, this is what God said. This is what God wants us to do. And the people said, amen. And if you'll read the story a little further, they got to singing and shouting and praising God, and they won the battle because they followed the man of God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
Now, if I go off and lose my mind, do something crazy, y'all don't have to follow me.
Amen.
As long as I'm in this book, y'all are supposed to follow me and say, well, okay, preacher.
Amen.
Listen, this ain't just for us. People hear this all over the country. It goes out over the radio. So, listen, I'm just trying to help. But listen, if it does hit you, take your medicine.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, be man enough to take it. I went to the doctor here a few weeks ago, and they said, we're going to have to give you a shot again. Something about them nurses. That's something about weird about them. Some people even marry one. Needle that long, it's going to have to go you know where. I said, so what? Do what you got to do, sis. You think you're going to scare me with a needle? Hey, I'm just trying to tell you something. Brother, listen, God works in an order. And I'll tell you, if we'll do it right and do it the way God said do, God will bless us. God always works through leadership, and he always has an order of things. God has a plan. God has a man. Thirdly, God has a prayer line. Use it. Where are we at? Let's look at verse 18. I'm going to close in just a minute. Some of y'all done quit already. Y'all closed before I did. Look at verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Now, I'll tell you how to handle what's handling you. God's got a plan. You need to follow it. God's got a man. You need to listen to him. But God's got a prayer line. Use it, brother. Ask my wife, most of the counseling we've done, I try not to do that anymore, no more than I have to. Most of the counseling would be solved and resolved if people would use that prayer line. You've got a direct hook up to heaven. Why do you want to bother me with it? I can't do nothing about it. I can advise you and say, Brother Sam, quit smacking your wife or something like that. Or I can say, Brother William, you need to smack yours, you know, whatever. Whatever applies. I'm just kidding. Just messing with you. But listen, there's a prayer line. There's a direct line. And you know, like when you go to the intensive care unit and you pick that phone up, you don't even have to dial it. I mean, it's already a direct line straight to the nurse's desk. That's the way it is when you pray. When you come up here and pray, you say, oh, preacher, I just dread telling anybody. You don't have to tell nobody. Hey, brother, the way to handle what's handling you, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Hey, I said bring it to Jesus. Amen. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord. And brother, if you'll learn to use that prayer line, you say, well, preacher, I'm so busy. You're just too busy. Yeah. Tell you what. You say, I ain't got time. I got to get up. So-and-so got to go to school. Got to go to work. Then I get off. I got to do. Here, look, let me help you out with something. One of them kids gets in intensive care. You'll find time to pray. Yeah. You'll cut that phone off. You'll cut that computer off. You'll cut that TV off. You'll even go in work late if you have to. But you don't have to do that because God don't want you doing that. Amen. God don't want you being a bad testimony about laying out of work and going into work late. That's not the issue. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is you'll find time. If you leave for work at 5 o'clock, just get up 30 minutes earlier than what you normally do. And get up and get on your face and get serious about it. And brother, I guarantee you God will hear and answer your prayer. There's a prayer line if you'll use it. The problem is people don't use it. They'll come to church and sit and listen and sit there and cry and weep and take that great big old burden and put it right back on their shoulders and go right back out the door. Amen. God's got a prayer line. That man of God got down on his face. Where was that? Verse 18. Verse 18, he said he bowed his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The preacher said, look here, or the leader said, look here, people. I know what we need to do. We need to pray. He said, preacher, my family fusses all the time. You need to pray a little more, brother. You need to kick something out, get a family altar in. Take that TV and throw it out the window, brother. Amen. If the computer's a problem, you can't get the kids off the internet or can't get them off the video games, burn them. Burn them and roast weenies with the fire and sit down and talk to your family and tell ghost stories or something, brother. I mean, have some family time and you'll learn to find that prayer time. And if you do, it'll change your walk with the Lord. God's got a plan. God's got a man. God's got a prayer line. But number four, God is worthy, so praise Him. I'd hate to come to a church like this and just watch all this go on and not get in on it, Brother Heath, wouldn't you? That'd be like going down to the buffet and your table's close to the buffet and I just sat there and look at it. It's that steam and that smoke's coming off of it. You can see them ribs and that fish and them, especially that fried chicken. That'd be a sin not to eat some of that. See them cat head biscuits big as a wagon wheel laying up there, butter running off of them. And people going around there eating, and they're drooling like a dog, and it's slobbering running off their face. And they're getting that food, and they're going back there to eating that stewed beef and all that junk. And you're just sitting there looking at it. Listen, brother, hey, why don't you get in it? You say, well, that's just not my style. Maybe it needs to be your style. Maybe you need to change your style. Maybe your style ain't working, brother. Maybe you need to throw it out, get rid of your style, get rid of your way, and do it God's way. Look at verse 21 and 22. We're going to close. And I'm going to leave it with you. 21 said, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, watch what happened. When they started worship, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were coming against Judah, and they were smitten. You want that thing handling you to be handled? You just start praising them. Preacher, I just can't praise the Lord because I got this problem. Listen, if you wait till everything's right, everything's in place, and everything's perfect, you're in perfect health and all the bills are paid and ain't nothing wrong, before you can praise God, you ain't never going to do it till you get to heaven. You might as well just forget that. That's why we come to church. We chunk that junk out yonder and come in here and just forget about it for about an hour and come in here, let the choir sing and let the girls sing, let the kids sing, let the preacher preach and just let our hair down and worship God for a while because we know we got to go back out in that old cold, dark world and live for the next week or till the next service. That's why we want to praise Him. I don't know about you, but when it gets on, brother, I want to get as much as I can because I don't know when we're going to get to be in another one like that. There's people that want to be here that can't be here. So when it's blowing and going, get in on it. When you're sitting by the buffet bar and your belly's growling, don't sit there and say, well, I'm not going to eat that because I don't like the way they act around here. Hey, just forget about all that. Don't even worry about it. Hey, do you think I go to a restaurant and don't eat because the waitress acts snotty toward me? I don't care. I don't care how she acts. As long as she don't spit in my food. And I wouldn't mind that if I'm hungry enough. There's a God that's worthy, so we should praise Him. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed for just a minute.